All right, hold up your Bible. Let me see them. I want you to hold up the phone, hold up the word. Amen. I understand. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see. This side, y'all have Bibles over here or not? Amen. Now listen to me. It's imperative that we bring our word. You've got to start. If you're born again, then you're my brother and sister in Christ. How we live as Christians is in the kingdom of God. And all of it is through this Bible. Not some man's opinion, not some man's doctrine, not even, the doctrines of the world through, denominations. No, I want to live. Nothing wrong with any of them, by the way. I was raised a little Southern Baptist boy, and then my grandma took me to the Pentecostal church. And there was a difference. Because it was only a few amens when things got real excited at the Baptist church. And the only one that could say amen was the deacons. Amen. And they always lowered their voice. Amen. Not at the Pentecostal church. Oh, I'm talking a tambourine shaking, people clapping and shouting and talking in different language that I was like, what the heck was that? But we got exposed to different ways of worship, and I love it. I love every bit of it. So God brings in all denominations, people that wasn't even raised in church, and we're going to serve God that way. Amen? We have freedom to serve our God. And you ought to get excited about God that you don't have to die and go to hell. There ought to be some excitement. It's not going to really cause people to come to want to be around you if you're not excited about your God. So I'm going to minister to you on last week's carryover on spiritual gifts that every single one of you, young and old, God has graced you with. And you've got to understand that in most churches, only 10%, 15%, 20% of the people do all the work. And the rest just kind of come every now and then, maybe. Or maybe they're faithful about coming, but really just feel comfortable about sitting in the seat and not really doing anything in the church or even outside the church. And I'm going to minister to you that God has graced every one of you with gifts. And He's given you those gifts that I want you to start allowing to come out, because the gifts that the Bible talks about are amazing. They're giftings that God has given us so that we can be productive in the kingdom of God. Now, I said just a little bit ago, if you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, then what the Bible says is that you're not conformed to the world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, cowboy terms, is your mind starts thinking like the Bible, thinking like God. Because it's the best way. The word doesn't return void. If you start doing things like God does them, not saying you're God, because you're not. Not saying you're the Son of God, Jesus, because you are definitely not. None of us are. Thank God there was one. Now, there are some false prophets that are trying to say they're Jesus, and we know what happens to all of them. Just look up Waco, and the man burned. There's only one God, one Father, in us all and through us all, thank God. There's only one Savior, and His name was Jesus, and He was born 2,000 years ago. Had 33 years of ministry on this earth, recorded, documented, praise God. Raised the dead, healed the sick, taught the multitudes. But then there was a day that He was crucified by people like us. Matter of fact, a lot of the time the Bible calls a lot of the people that crucified the Lord Jesus priests who beat Him. A cruel death that our that our Savior went through. But he had to. He had to do it so that we can be redeemed, praise God. We can be forgiven. We can live under the blessing of God, grace and mercy. We can have forgiveness. But you're not there just to now receive and receive and receive. I always use the examples of sheep and goats because God calls us sheep. And I was raised with sheep and goats in the Ira and Sheffield, McCamey, and all that area. And I'm here to tell you, fat sheep is not what God wants for us. Because I know the hindrances with fat sheep, and I've told y'all about that before, how they'll get stuck in a mesquite, and because they're so fat, they don't have the energy to get away from that mesquite tree because the wool is wrapped around those old thorns. And the old Angora goats, the haired goats, before they shear, they get wrapped around those bushes and they can't get free. And if you don't get them free, they'll die. I just crossed a little load of Mexican steers from Mexico last week. And Lance, thank God for him, went to Presidio to gather them, put them in a trailer. And I just happened to be with my wife and daughter headed to Yuma, Arizona on Wednesday of last week. By the way, I won second, third, and fourth in the second go-around to the glory of God. Okay. I want to tell you that because I drove a long ways and it would have been no fun not to win. Oh, thank God. When we got to Junction, we met and he was coming back with these steers and I pulled up and told him, hey, I want to look at these steers. And when I looked at them and Jamie gets out, my wife, there was about four or five of them down. And I said, we've got to get them up because they will die. They'll die. Those other steers, they don't care. They don't have a spirit, man. So they will just stand on something that's down. They don't know any other, and it just crush them. And you'll get to your destination a lot of times, and you'll have probably four or five of them dead when they come out. Well, they cost $960 a piece, okay? I don't want any dead. So we got in there, me and old Lance, and we just got them all up. And I said, okay, when you get to Mason, check them again, you know. You see, the enemy wants you to be spiritually dead. He doesn't want you to produce anything, even that you learn in church. So God begins to give us spiritual giftings that help spread the gospel. Do the work, as Ephesians chapter 5 says, do the work of the ministry. That's all of our job, y'all. I'm not saying you got to be a preacher and you got to, when you get saved, move to Africa and eat beetles to tell people about Jesus. You don't have to be the fivefold, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, or the apostle. Because the Bible says only some are called to do that. And I thank God I'm one of them. But then there's a lot of other people that you have to understand our job as those five are the building up the saints. The people that are born again, you're called saints. And then it says to do the work of the ministry because I can't do it all. I can't go to the hospital with just being one person, with all the people that might be in that hospital today. It's going to take all of us to do the work of the ministry for the knowledge of the Son of God. So our job as believers is to tell people about Jesus. My job, yes, is to pastor this church, to evangelize out there in the Western world right now. That's the call that God's given me. And it took until about 24 years old to submit to that call, especially knowing when I was 13 that I was called. But I fought it. But there's a job for every one of you in some way. It might be your influence where you work. So God's given us some spiritual giftings, and you'll find it in Romans. That's where I want you to turn right quick. Romans chapter 12. Let's all turn there. Romans chapter 12. Now, let me just give you real quick the basis of this message, because you'll notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says this: "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one." Look at your neighbor and say, "That's you." Look at him, do it again. Look at your neighbor and just say, "He's talking about you." God's talking about you. Not someone else. He's talking about all of us. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. One thing you don't want to lose is you don't want to miss that very last clause, that God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Because really, and it might be a strange way to do it, but it's how God is referring to spiritual gifts that he's given to every one of us. When you get down to about verse 6, it says that having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then it starts listing all of these prophecies. But what I want you to see just real fast, because every one of us are giving these gifts, but they're not all the same that he gives to the individuals, all of us. They're different in a lot of ways. But the word gift is really a charismatic word that literally means grace gifts, because God's given us these grace gifts, because he didn't have to do it. He could have said, "Oh, you ain't worthy. You're not worthy." You know, I was raised in some churches that always said that, and I never understood it. "I'm not worthy." Yeah, I'm not worthy. I'm trying to change a lot of people's, and they mean it positive, and they mean it humble, but I think it's a false humility a lot of times when I say, "How you doing?" And they say, "Better than I deserve." And it just, that doesn't set well with my ears. Because what do you deserve? You don't deserve much? I was raised that way, though, of course. But better than I deserve. I'm not worthy. I'm just a little old worm, just hoping to get an old shack in the corner of heaven. You ever heard that? But in all reality, what we need to be taught is that before you gave your life to Jesus, you're not worthy. But after you give your heart to the Lord Jesus, and you are then called a son and a daughter of the Most High God, you're worthy. You know why you're worthy? Because you're worthy because God called you an heir with Jesus Christ, or with God, and a joint heir with Jesus. I mean, we're heirs with God. All these promises that are yes and amen are for us. They're not for someone else that's worthy. It's for you and I. So we got to start thinking of ourselves in these ways, that thank God for the grace. But God's given his grace, because that's why then God's saying, where is that at? Verse 3, that he's given us the grace given to us, to every man among you. But then he says this: not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In other words, when God's given you a gift by the grace of God, it's not for you to get all puffed up. It's not for you to get all holier than thou. It's the grace of God that gives you these gifts, and it ought to be an honor that God has gifted you in some way. But what are those gifts? What is the gift that God has given you individually? Look at me real fast. Look at me. Every single one of you. Don't read the next parts of the Bible. I know y'all are trying to. Look at me just real fast. What is your gift? What is the gifting that God's given you? Now, in your mind, a lot of times we're thinking, you don't know what I've done, so I probably don't have any, because I hadn't been a good person. I mean, in all these idiotic things, the devil has people think. That's why in the very first part of this text, in verse 2 of chapter 12, it says, no, don't be conformed to the world. Don't you dare think like the world. No, be transformed by renewing your mind. Get the Bible on the inside of you. Get who God's called you to be. God in you, the hope of glory. Find out who you are in Christ Jesus. And God begins to say, hey, I've graced you individually. Every one of you. If Jesus is your Lord, I've graced you with a gift. And you got to allow that gift to come out. Well, the reason I wanted to tell you about that is because sometimes in the church, only 10 or 15, 20% do everything, and they're doing things in the church that they're not gifted to do. And that's what causes burnout. You get burnout, and you then want to go to another church so you can just sit in those seats and receive because you've been burnt out doing things you're really not gifted to do. I realize that not everybody is gifted to work in the nursery with little babies. But one thing about it is we are to have a heart to be willing to do anything if there's a need. But is that your gift? I mean, think about it. I mean, I love little babies. But I love to whip them as well. Anyway. So God doesn't want you to burn out. No, He wants you to be where God, when you understand the giftings that you have, you'll love to do it. So let's talk about them real fast. Obviously, we talked about last week about the spiritual gift of prophecy. And that's just when God gives you a word for somebody to build them up, to exhort them. And you'll see that there's another gifting that's really, really close to the gift of prophecy, but I'm telling you, the Lord, and you spend a lot of time with God where you hear His voice. And when He speaks to you, you know it's Him. And He may say, go do something, say something to somebody. And I'm just telling you, that is a gift that a lot of people in here had when they stood up last week and just felt like they had this gifting of prophecy just to... You know, the Apostle Paul says it in proportion of our faith, that the gift of prophecy seems to be the ability to really spontaneously and appropriately hear a word from the Lord. And then you'll give it to somebody. And it might be simple as, hey, God wanted me to tell you that even though you may be going through a lot of things, a lot of circumstances, a lot of trials and tribulations, as the Apostle Paul says, count it all joy. Because God's bringing you and elevating you out of that mess so that you can be a key kingdom-minded person. And don't give up. Amen. Don't you dare give up. Well, that's very prophetic, right? When someone's building you up. Now, there was a time when a lady said, hey, I have a word from the Lord. And she was giving it to a friend of mine, a rancher's wife that has a big ranch, has had it for over 100 years. And she stands up and tells the lady, hey, I have a word from you. And she says this, the Lord told me to tell you that you're going to be going bankrupt not very long from now. And you know what my friend Glenda McMullen said? She said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll never forget that. Wow. Because that's not edifying. You better discern what comes out of your mouth when you have the gift of prophecy, because it's got to be building up, edification, exhortation, etc. but it's a word from God. Here's the second one, though, that the Bible talks about right here in verse 6, 7, and 8. Now, we're not going to read it, but here's the next one. The spiritual gift of ministering or serving. This is a gift that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about verse 28 or so in that area, it uses the word helps. And I've heard it in the ministry a lot, helps ministry. When you study it out, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians is used this gift of helps when it was used by those seven who became deacons in Acts chapter 6. And they were helping in different areas so that the minister, the pastor, or the teacher, or whatever, could actually deliver the word. And they would just help because it seems like the pastor has to do everything, you see. And that's why you have over 1,000 pastors quitting a year, allowing the devil to run them out because they're burnt, they're tired, they're exhausted. I preached about that at the Cowboy Ministers Network conference we just had in San Antonio. And I'm telling you, it was the largest group of ministers we've had in all the years of Cowboy Ministers Network. And I'm the president of it. And I'm telling you, God just built up. But one of my assignments by the Lord, leading this big group of ministers, is to teach them that we don't have time for exhaustion. We don't have time to take on the cares and the burdens of the people that we pastor, or that we teach, or that we minister in evangelistic ways. No, my job is not to take on your burden. When I pray and I lay hands on the sick or whatever we do, my job is to make sure the burden is cast over on the one that died for it. Jesus, you see. Okay? The ministry of helps is a very needed ministry because in Acts chapter 6, these, what they call deacons, was taking care of the physical needs of that early church. And it allowed, again, the ministers, the apostle, like the Apostle Paul here, the freedom for prayer and the ministry of the word. So it really is a needed ministry in the body of Christ because these people have the right attitude. The one that has the ministry of serving just has a good attitude. People with this gift, they love to do whatever they can to enhance or build up the ministry of Jesus Christ. These people see the needs that need to be done. Even if it's someone that's the maintenance man at the church, they're looking around to see where is there a need. You know, and that's these kind of people. What needs to be done? And then guess what they do? They do it joyfully. They don't do it reluctantly. They don't do it all, I guess I'll do it. Have you ever asked someone to, hey, would you mind to haul this trash out for me, please? I'm going 6 miles an hour, different directions. Would you mind just to haul this trash? And you know someone that's not gifted in this area because they go, I guess I can. I guess so. No. Someone with this gift goes, it's an honor. Yes, sir. Let me take the load off of you. You see, this gifting is very, very important for the glory of the Lord and the strengthening of His work. We need the gifts of help. Paul says, do you have this gift of ministry? Because if you do, don't you dare neglect it. You need to allow this gift to come out. You need to use it for ministering in some way. Because listen to me, you may not know a lot of scriptures in the Bible, but I'm here to tell you just one word of, hey, Jesus loves you. Or one help, helping someone. Remember the days when someone was broke down and we had actually stopped and helped them? Remember those days? Because now it's just like, better pass on because you don't know who stopped. You know, the enemy is just trying to convince us that we don't need to have this gift of ministry. But I'm here to tell you, don't neglect it if you got it, because there's a lot of people who have this gift that's not using it. And there's a whole lot that needs to be using it to get things done in the kingdom. Real fast, let me start closing. I'll do one more. What about the spiritual gift of teaching, it says? I'm talking about, listen, not the fivefold teacher that's behind the pulpit teaching the Word of God, but it might be someone that teaches Bible study. I told my son, Seth, he's going to go team rope today, you know, at the high school rodeo. And I told him, I said, hey, you know what you ought to do with all your friends? Is why don't you start a Bible study? And he looked at me like, say what? What? Huh? Yeah, Bible study. I said, because you want to be a champion for God? You want to have the right mindset and understand how to rebuke fear? Start learning what God says about you and how to operate. How to start saying out of your mouth, I don't have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I will, I can, I will do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I'm fixing to get in that box and I'm going to back my horse up in the corner and I'm going to see exactly what I need to see and I'm going to get my swing up there and I'm going to be aggressive with my swing, but I'm going to take a good shot and I'm going to handle the steer so that my healer can rope that steer. You know what the devil says in a lot of people's minds that rodeo and rope and do whatever in business, he's always saying, I hope you don't miss. Hope your horse don't buck you off. I hope something bad doesn't happen. I wonder if your partner's gonna. And all this fear tries to get into our mind. But someone with a teaching ability teaches the truth of Scripture. That's what this gift of teaching is, to communicate the truth of God's Word. That we learned through Bible study, possibly. You got to ask yourself when you have this gift, do people seem to understand God's Word better when you explain it? Do you have this gift to just sit someone down and say, let me show you what the Word of God says here. And it's just delivered in such a way as, oh, I get that. Okay, I've never heard it that way before. Let me share this quick story and then I'll close. At a minister's conference 2 years ago, you don't know who's coming. And I've told this story before, but it was crazy because a man had facial hair, walks into the ministry, the conference, all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ in high heels. And we're all looking like, you know, of course, we're cowboys, right? We don't take some of this stuff lightly that they're trying to push down our throats. We're like, I don't think so. So, he sat down. I noticed all the ministries would look over. And I'm talking, these heels were 3 inches long, ladies. And he could, man, I mean, he was. You know, all of us men would be like, we wouldn't be, but he was doing it, man. I'm like, well, everybody was looking at me as the leader to see what I was going to do about it. How am I going to respond and handle this situation? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle something that is a little bit awkward and is going to have to take someone doing something? Or, I mean, how are you going to handle it? Well, he just received in the first session. He received in the second session. Then it was time for lunch. And I still notice everybody looking at him, trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Ladies, women are the ones that wear heels, not men. So I just said, Father, what do you want me to do? Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? This is why we've got to be a teacher and be led by the Spirit of God, knowing how to deliver the Word of God, because that's this gifting. When you just know how to say something with the truth of the Word to where people understand it and it doesn't go over their head, it's not so spiritual that you're trying to prove that you have lots of book knowledge. No. If y'all can tell, I just want to deliver it so that the common person can understand it, so that we don't have to figure out why in the heck is it saying it that way. Why in the heck are they praying in other tongues that I don't understand? And a good teacher with that gifting one-on-one will say, hey, let me just show you. Let me just tell you. Here's what the Lord showed me about it. And I mean, they can just deliver that teaching in a way that people understand it. So I said, sir, what do you want me to do about this situation? And he just gave me a lot of knowledge. And I said, hey, and I went to him and I said, hey, come out here for a second. And I took him over here. Now, I had security ready to pounce just in case. Because you don't know if it's some devil. Because it's a very perverted thing to be confused about the differences between a man and a woman. And there are differences, y'all. Say amen if you agree. There's differences. And we're still trying to figure out the other one. You see. So the first thing the Lord had me ask is, I said, hey, I want to talk to you. I said, first of all, my first question, do you believe you're a man or do you believe you're a woman? And he looked at me, I told this the other day, but he looked at me and goes, I'm a man. And I took a step back and I said, because I was expecting him to say, well, I'm whatever. He said, no, I'm a man. I said, okay. And this is the coolest thing about how God gave me the wisdom to explain it to him in a way that he goes, wow, I've never heard it this way. And here's what the Lord had me say. I said, if you call yourself a minister, I said, obviously high heels are known to be for women and not men. I said, so what you're doing is you're drawing attention to yourself. And if you're a minister of the gospel, we're supposed to draw attention to Jesus. We're not supposed to be all about self. I said, every one of these ministers is looking at you. You're drawing their attention to you. And the Word says we're to draw it to the Lord Jesus. And he stepped back and he goes, wow, I've never had it. And he's been at numerous huge conferences around the country. And no one ever said it like that. They just either pushed him away or just let him be in there, even though there was a lot of distraction. And they just went about their business. No, not us. I just begin to say, if you're drawing attention to you and not Jesus, then something's wrong. And when he said, wow, I've never had it said to me. Now, he didn't take off his heels. Because I said, hey, if you want to take them off where it's not drawing attention, you're more than welcome to stay. Because we operate in love. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, y'all. We're not wrestling against a person. We're wrestling against the spirit of darkness that's causing confusion. And he backed up and said, you know what? I think I just better leave. But here's an offering for the minister that was just ministering. But see, that confusion spirit was there, and God just had me deliver it in a way that he understood. That's the gift of teaching. If you got that gift, y'all, let it come out. Let it come out in Jesus' name. Amen? So those are two giftings, and we're going to talk about the next ones next week and the next week. I've told y'all I'm here for a while. Thank God. I mean, amen. It's very seldom that I'm here consistently, but I'm here. Bow your head, please. Everybody, at the sound of my voice, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Now, we're all going to pray this prayer, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. Now, the ones that have never done this, I'm talking about if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. You've got to understand, listen to me carefully, you have to understand that there's only one way to go to heaven, according to John 14. And that's because Jesus said it himself. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Not a preacher, not a church, not a denomination. Jesus said it. That's why he was crucified, y'all. That's why he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why he's the Son of God. Is you got to receive him in order to go to heaven. Not be a good person. Not just go to church. I attend church. I'm good. No, no, no. You have to go through the one that gave their lives for you. The only way you get to heaven is by confessing Jesus as Lord. So that's what we do here at Cowboy Church. If he's not your Lord, we're fixing to pray. And when we pray, you say that prayer out loud and mean it. And ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord. When he becomes your Lord, then we live by the Bible. Now, all the rest of you that are born again, if you got saved last week or 15, 20, 40, 50 years ago, it doesn't matter. If you're born again, then you have to have confidence in your salvation. But the reason that I have you pray this prayer with anybody that never has prayed it before is to pray it with them and learn the prayer. We have to do the work of the ministry because every person in this country or in this world will not come to Cowboy Church. We might have to lead them to Jesus at the horse stall or on the ranch, at the farm, on our job, in the grocery store. It doesn't matter. So you got to learn this prayer. But if you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus, or you're watching and you've never received Jesus, then do it now by praying this prayer. You ready? And all of us are going to pray it out loud, and we're going to mean what we pray, especially if we're asking Jesus to come in our lives for the first time. Listen to me real fast. If you pray this prayer and you die and leave this earth, tomorrow or in 100 years, you're going to bust heaven wide open. That's the importance of receiving Jesus as Lord. So let's pray all this prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Today I'm saved. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, I'm going to serve you. You are now my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, you look up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to be bold. Right where you're sitting or you're standing. Right where you're at watching us online. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I say three, one, two, three. When I say it, get that hand up and say, I just gave my heart to Jesus. And then just put your hand right back down. That's what I want you to do with boldness. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, don't you dare be ashamed. Jesus died on top of a hill called Golgotha in front of the whole world, and he's not ashamed of you. Don't ever be ashamed of receiving him as Lord. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up and then put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank all of you. Appreciate you. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Every one of you that raised your hand, get a Bible. I think we should have enough. We need more? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah, let's go around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me give one more Bible away. Nope, she's saved. She's good. She got a Bible last time. Yeah, she's born again. All right, look at me, everybody. This is a great lesson for all of us. Number one, I'm telling you, I've never seen a church like this one where so many people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. I realize that sometimes people leave and they now have the freedom to go back to their church that they understand now. But they may have gotten born again here and then they go off and plug in. But if you live around here, you ought to be coming here. I don't know about y'all, but I think this is the greatest church I know of. Every single person that raised your hand or gave your heart to Jesus, you might have walked down to the front of a church like I did in 1979. I was 10 years old. I came down to the altar. You don't have to do that. You can get, again, saved at a horse stall. I led a girl in Lubbock, Texas, in the horse stall. Gave her heart to Jesus. It wasn't in a church. There wasn't angels flying. Well, there probably was. They just didn't see them. Listen to me. If you just gave your heart to Jesus at any time, including today, don't ever raise your hand again. You have to have confidence that I am born again. Because you may do stuff wrong. Forget all that junk. That's why Jesus died. Just quit doing it. But don't let that mean that you got to get saved over and over and over. No, no, no. When you give your heart to Jesus, angels in heaven are rejoicing. Amen? And have that confidence. I'm born again. God, thank you for forgiving me, but I'm saved, you know. And then, again, when you repent for something, you quit doing it. But it has nothing to do with your salvation. All of y'all that raised your hand, it's an honor to call you my brother or sister in Christ. We're in a big family. But listen to me, even preachers need some prayer. We need people to have our back because there's a lot of attacks out there. But you got it too, because you got a family. We're for you, not against you. Amen? So let's serve God. Let's serve God. And I'm proud of you for giving your heart to the Lord. Amen? All right. Thank you for being here. Do not miss next week. We're going to try to get through some of these other giftings, and we're just going to go. But hey, if you have the gifting that we talked about today, let God do it in your life. So here's what I want to do as we're dismissed. I want everybody to stay seated. If you have those two spiritual gifts of helps, that's serving, man. Or you have this gift to teach, and it's just, you just have a way of explaining things. And sometimes it might not be just about the Bible. It might be a guy that my dad was gone, and I was trying to teach my son how to catch a ball, not like this, where it pops you in the head. And a friend of mine that has a really awesome gift of teaching said, hey, why don't you do a windshield wiper? I said, huh? He goes, it's like a windshield wiper. Hold that, if the ball's here, if it's there, if it's up here, if it's over here, you hold it right. You don't do this everywhere. It taught me. I didn't have my dad to teach me that because he was in heaven already when I was trying to teach my son. That's the gift of teaching. If you have that gifting or you have a gift of help, stand up right now. Just stand up. You have a gift to serve. You have a gift to just teach it. See, look around, y'all. We need y'all's help in this church. If you have these giftings, don't sit there. Let it come out in the church because it'll come out there in the field. Amen? Every one of you, put your hand over your heart. I want to pray with you. And when I pray and we say, the people sitting, you don't have to put your hand over your heart, just the people standing. Because I want y'all to get this, okay? We're going to dismiss. but I'm going to pray for y'all. When I say amen, everybody is allowed to leave. You ready? Father, every person that has their hand over their heart that's standing, they have a specific gifting, whether it be the gift of helps that serves in the church and outside the church, or they have this gifting to just teach the Bible one-on-one, possibly, where they just know how to deliver the teaching where the person hearing it understands it. What a gift. The gift of helps. Sir, we need it in this church because there's helps in the nursery. There's helps in kids' church. There's helps ushering. There's helps just being positive. There's help. We need help, sir. All these people that are standing and have their hand over their heart, I thank you, Lord, for causing that gifting to come out now in Jesus' name. Let it flow. They might make mistakes. It doesn't matter. Thank you for grace. But Father, cause those giftings to come out so that they can just be a blessing in the kingdom of God. So Father, we thank you for that. Now, as we are dismissed, I thank you, Lord, that we receive this message by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for the ones that gave their hearts to you, that got saved today. I ask you to cause them to find a Bible-believing church if they don't live here, or cause them to plug in here and invite new ones. And it's an honor, again, to be called brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Father, as we leave, you don't stay here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You get to go with us right now. So, Father, as we go through the week, whatever we're doing, thank you for being there. In Jesus' name, amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.